Whoops. I had a preschool teacher one time that had a sign up in her classroom, and it said, "We're as organized as a plate of spaghetti." You know, and if you've ever eaten spaghetti, you know what a challenge that is. Who can tell me what epiphany means? Epiphany comes from a Greek word, epiphaneo. Who can tell me what it means? Anybody? What? Yeah, revelation, a manifestation, a revelation in that, you know, finally, here I am. And all kinds of people's eyes were opened during the epiphany. The first, what event happened on January 6th that we commemorate? That was when Epiphany was, the 12th day of Christmas. Yeah, that's right, that's exactly it, Gentile Christmas. That was the time when the Magi came and laid before Christ gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I know that event is past, but now we find ourselves in a period of Epiphany, and during Epiphany, all of the readings, and watch them. I'm sure Pastor has been talking with you about Epiphany lessons before today, but listen to them very carefully. In every one of them, there's a huge revelation about Jesus Christ. He was baptized, or he went to the temple and so forth. He was baptized. He did this, he did that, did all kinds of miraculous things. In our account today, he begins putting together his cabinet, a term we are hearing a lot about nowadays. But he put together his classroom of disciples. And it is just unbelievable how he does this. Only Christ could do something like this. Can you imagine going out into your neighborhoods and saying, follow, you know, next Sunday, why don't you try this, you know, and maybe really surprise Pastor when he's back. But you walk down the street and say, follow me. And people followed him, Christ. Why? It was just incredible what happened. The whole society was turned up on its ears. They had never seen anything like this before. Even a tax collector, a rich guy, you know, he walked up to Matthew at the collection table and said, follow me. That's it. No big, long, you know, running down of his books or anything like that. No commentary on anything he did for a living. Just follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. And he's starting to assemble all of these disciples anyway. And yeah, a disciple is a student, somebody that follows. But a disciple is also somebody that turns quickly into an apostle, and that's a story for another day. They were sent out. Well, you and I are living 2,100 years or 2,000 plus years after these events took place. And so, students of Jesus Christ, when we approach him, we do the same thing that the disciples do. We learn from him, and then we go out and share the message of salvation with people around the globe. And but what's interesting about the gospel that was just read was that guy, Andrew. Andrew did a fantastic thing. I don't know if you caught it, but, you know, and how much do you know about Andrew? We don't know a great deal about him. He had some good pedigree. I mean, his brother was Peter. That says quite a bit right there. Peter and Andrew were brothers. But Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, verse 40, and we just read this, was one of the two who heard what John had said. And John, remember, said, follow him, the Lamb of God. And he was one of two that heard this, and he did exactly what John said. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon Peter. Wow, that's quite a find. That's what I would call strategic evangelism. You know what I mean? When we were in Thailand, the gospel message was for the whole village. When we would enter a village, and Diana and I would share Christ, but the one person that we really singled out in our minds was the leader of the village, and as the leader goes, so goes the whole village. And so when he would come to faith in Jesus Christ, whoa, they would take it from there. They would take it from there. We bowed out of the scene as soon as the church was struck. They can do it better themselves. And the simple message for today is to just do the same kind of thing. Go get your brothers. Go get your sisters. Go get your neighbors, your friends, people you love, people you care about. Don't do that, though, until you have found the Christ. And what I mean by that is exactly what happened here. They didn't just find a prophet. They didn't just find a rabbi. Oh, rabbi. No, they found Jesus Christ, and he's named as such. This is the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. This is the Son of God, God himself. And as he powerfully stood before the people, he didn't make any credential claims on his own. He didn't sit back and say, this and that about himself. He just did the work he had to do. And he even told the disciples at one point, they asked him the question, are you the Christ or should we look for another? And he didn't really answer that. Other than saying, just tell John what you see and what you hear. The lame walk, the deaf hear. Those in prison are free. He did what he had to do. People surrounded him and claimed him as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I brought something along just to help us focus for just a moment. And to think about what, my goodness, I'm coming undone. Don't anybody look. But Jesus Christ is the shepherd. You and I are the sheep. And when we finally come to a realization of what he means for us and for our lives, when we really realize in our heart of hearts what it means to receive forgiveness of each and every one of our sins, big or small, doesn't matter. We can't out-sin God's grace. Every time we sin, we can go to God, ask for forgiveness. Why? Because this guy died for your sins, and this guy isn't just a Tom, Dick, or Harry down the street. This guy is the Son of God. This is God himself. When he allowed himself to be crucified on Calvary's cross, that was good enough for your forgiveness and for mine. We ought to do nothing more. We just receive his forgiveness and move on. When you commit that big sin back in 2017 and you remember that and it troubles you for years to come, shouldn't. Why? Because it's gone. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But look at his feet are the sheep, right? That's each and every one of us. We follow him. We stay close to him. And during the Epiphany season, we concentrate on realizing that this is God. This isn't just a babe of Bethlehem. This was not just a heartwarming scene in a stable. This was God incarnate who realized that we couldn't do for ourselves what had to be done, And so he came and did it for us. He took care of all that was necessary for our forgiveness, for our eternal life. Disciples crowd around the feet of Jesus Christ. Pastor Joe's job here at Southwest Lutheran is to make sure the flock is all around their shepherd, Jesus Christ, and always to keep them close to him, to the Savior. But there does arrive a moment when you and I realize enough that we can go out and spread the good news. We can only study the Bible long enough. And after that, we have to get to work, become the apostles that Jesus Christ has called us to be. Disciple learns. Once you've learned, once you've come into contact with and been infiltrated with Jesus Christ, once you realize what he means for you and for your existence, then it's time to do the first thing that Andrew did. The first thing Andrew did, that's a quote from Scripture, is he went out and found his brother. The job that you and I have is to reach out. Shepherds don't beget sheep. Sheep beget sheep. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do it. You and I have been called into a very special fellowship by the Holy Spirit, and we owe absolutely everything to God. You and I deserve absolutely zero, but we receive everything. You and I are not worthy to be called his children, but we are. You and I don't know nearly enough about God to go and act as if we do, but we do have enough knowledge. Friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, the church will grow. Every church will grow, and I'm talking about the invisible church. The body of all believers in Christ will grow when you and I as disciples become apostles and go out. We've studied Scripture. Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this, but hear what I'm meaning, not what I'm saying. We've studied Scripture enough. Now it's time to do something. We never know enough about Holy Scripture. Even this morning before I came over, I was digging into this text again and looking into the Greek and so forth. There's always more we can learn. But you and I are no longer just disciples or apostles. Go make disciples of all nations. Bring them into the fold. The power of God's gospel goes way beyond our comprehension, way beyond our imagination. The power that you and I have in the simple message, God loves you. God has sent his son Jesus to die for you. Come see where he lives. Goes way beyond any kind of cultural, language barrier, time barrier, anything. Proclaim the word. The Holy Spirit will take the rest. Take care of the rest. You know, years ago, I took a call down to Hilton Head Island in South Carolina. And when I first got there, I met with all of the boards and committees and so forth. And it's something pastors do. And when I did, one group I got together with was called the Andrew Movement. Ugh. In me and my ignorance, I thought, what in the world is that? And I met with them and I said, what does this group do? What do you, you know, I know a board of trustees, board of elders, board of education, all the rest. I was very familiar with that, but an Andrew Society, that's what it was called, Andrew Society. And this is what it was. They said their one mission in Island Lutheran Church. And if ever you go to Hilton Head Island on vacation or something, stop by the church there. Marvelous bunch of people. But to this day, they have an Andrew Society patterned after these verses. The first thing Andrew did was to go out and bring someone in. And isn't that what our evangelism is all about? It isn't some big high-tech program. And I remember years ago when you go in, you ask these questions, you say these words, and I would try to remember. I thought, oh, man, I can't remember all of this stuff. But it isn't that involved. It's telling others about Jesus Christ. When that happens, the Holy Spirit plugs in and fantastic things happen. So give your shepherd, your under-shepherd, Pastor Joe here, a helping hand and reach out and bring more with you. Please join me in just a short word of prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, it's so easy to spend time at your side, to spend time at your son's side. As little lambs, we rejoice and enjoy just being close to our Lord. We hear his voice. We want to obey. We pray that your Holy Spirit would empower us to do just that, to imitate Andrew and perhaps do an absolutely marvelous thing and bring in the Peters that surround us and share with them the message. I have found the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the one who is the leader, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away all the sin of the world. Enable us to do that. Give us opportunities to do this and bless our every effort as we strive to do this in our daily lives. Watch over us, O Lord, and send us from our Lord's side out into the world to share, to shout from the mountaintops, Jesus Christ is born, and we now have a Savior and salvation. In your Son we pray, amen.